Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 788, The Master Chief in All of Us. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Duststorm.
And I am your other co-host, Godzilla T.
And we are here with a special edition of the Podtacular podcast. We are actually not live tonight because we are doing something a little special for this episode of the podcast. We thought we'd take a moment to take a step back with Infinite coming out in just about 5-6 months-ish. Now that you think about it, it's actually really close. To just kind of take a little bit of a retrospective on who Chief is and what Chief has meant to the Halo franchise and what we might be seeing with Infinite coming out. So I figure it might be an interesting opportunity to kind of take a look back at where we've been and where we are with Chief. It's going to be an interesting discussion, to say the least.
So everybody, start up your Wayback Machine. And like 1/10 of you actually got that. It flew right over Dust's head.
Oh, I got it. I know what the Wayback Machine is. I had to dig through it for several of Halopedia's little things that I've helped them with. So, GT, since you actually have more history with Halo than me, first impressions of when you actually first saw Chief in the what was before what was released with Halo CE. And we got to see the low poly version of Chief.
Well, honestly, up to that point, I was very impressed with the graphics and the delivery of the character, the look, way back when. Back when the dirt was new.
Back when characters were composed of about 60 polygons, and that was it.
Yeah. You know, it was for me. Because, you know, I was a console player, you know, this was the latest and greatest stuff. So it really impressed me initially with the quality of it. And, you know, you have to keep in mind that, you know, back then we were playing on CRTs, which great for refresh rate. They kind of sucked for picture quality, especially when you get the Best Buy specials with the built-in DVD player. Yeah.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, that was a $700 mistake. Anyway.
Oh, no.
It was... The biggest thing was the storytelling. Master Chief's story. That's what hooked me. The way Bungie told the story, it just sucked me in. And I've been there ever since. It's expanded to the point where, you know, I try to get a hold of every piece of story I can get my hands on, just so I can follow along with it. So it really did hook me into the whole story and caring about this blank slate that is the Master Chief. How about you, Dust?
I think for me, one of the biggest things for Halo was the story. That was definitely the hook for me. And I got involved with Halo a little bit later in Halo's lifespan. So I think I probably, the first time I ever heard about it was maybe 2002, 2003 from some friends. And I really didn't start getting involved and like actually focusing on Halo as something that I would really enjoy until about 2005. So up until that point, didn't know too much about it, but I had heard of it. I'd played it a few times with some friends who had Xboxes that I would spend the night with growing up. Yes, I am that young, like spending the night at like 10, 11 years old to play Halo. But one of the cool things about it was the story. I think that was the main hook for me too, was just how enticing the storyline was, how well it was laid out. And I know you mentioned having the Master Chief story in there, but I think one of those other selling points to it was just the mystery behind the Flood and the Ring and this ancient world, but it's in this sci-fi futuristic universe that's somewhat grounded in things that you can relate to in today's kind of what you can see through like like all the other main battle type and war type games. So really, story driving it home, and Master Chief being a central part of that, being that character, being that can that Bungie intended for you to fill the boots in, was a just really cool vessel in the woolly, really cool way to tell a story. It's like you're, the way they present it is you're driving the story. You're the character. You're this super soldier with a generic identity, and you're the one that's exploring this ring and uncovering the mysteries that it has to hide.
Yeah, you became Master Chief.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to see how that story evolved, especially with Halo 2, getting both sides of the story. You got the UNSC side, and then you have the Covenant side with the Arbiter. And that's one of the reasons why my favorite campaign to this day is Halo 2. Getting to see that dynamic and getting to see both sides of the story and seeing really where the struggle is and provide that much more depth to the universe. Like, the story in Halo 1 was basically scratching the surface compared to all the lore that you got in Halo 2. And then all the books that kind of helped fill in that gaps between Halo 1 and Halo 2, which was astounding.
Definitely. I remember when I first got into the extended universe, and to this day, I can't seem to put the books down. I constantly listen to them via audiobooks, and it always sucks me in. And every time I listen to one or read one, I see something or hear something new. But, you know, like for me, my favorite campaign is Halo CE, because that is the introduction of this massive world. Yes, it was pretty generic, and, you know, there was a challenge in the writing, but it just flowed so well, and, you know, it was very immersive. And I'm not taking anything away from any of the other campaign stories. Halo 2's, Halo 3's, Halo 4's, they're all great stories in their own way. But for me, that first experience seeing this brand new genre of game come to, you know, a console, and I'm not really talking about just the first person shooter, but this first person campaign that you played, you could really get into it. Because, you know, back then things were a lot different. I mean, it just, you looked at video games a different way, and this was something very new to me. And it stuck with me all my life, you know, from that point on. So yeah, I love Halo 2. When they announced that when everybody found out there's two storylines, oh my Lord, we were jumping for joy. I mean, I could not wait to get my hands on that. Matter of fact, I remember going in, pre-ordering Halo 2, and sitting right there on the counter was the primer guide for it. So I picked one of those up too.
Nice. Yeah, those were shame on you, Best Buy.
Yeah. Oh, I still pick them up. I love thumbing through the primer guides. I'm actually trying to find one for CE, because I don't have one for CE. I have one for the rest of the games, but not CE. But anyway,
I think I have a Prima guide for all of the 343 games. I don't think I have Prima guides. I might have them for Halo 3 and ODST. I'm not sure. I have to check. But yeah, those things add a little bit of extra detail. Like, it's funny. You go through some of the older manuals for games, you get all the lore stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you look at the box for Pokemon or Perfect Dark or Metroid, like in the Nintendo side, all those Nintendo game manuals have a ton of lore in them. And even the Halo manuals had little tidbits of lore. It wasn't as much as some of like the Nintendo stuff, but there were still little tidbits in there where if you were a lore nerd, you wanted to get the manuals, because mm-hmm. there was just that little tidbit in there for you to grab.
Yeah, I keep mine just right there behind me, ready to grab. I'll still grab them and open them up every once in a while and thumb through them and really, you know, read through them and see if there's anything new or, you know, anything that I haven't discovered yet. It's a lot of fun. You know, even having, like, you know, the hidden stuff locations in there and things like that, it doesn't really deter me from them. I do explore the game first, before I start digging into where, you know, all the hidden stuff is, but mm-hmm. yeah, it's a great part of the game and I enjoy it. With you going to Halo 2 was just such a change. I mean, here you have this massive campaign mm-hmm. where you're seeing both sides of the story. You see Master Chief change during this story. You see the Arbiter change during this story, but you see Master Chief in a light where he's not seeing the Covenant, all of the Covenant, as an enemy anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, in that type of situation, that's very hard to do, but they do it well.
They do.
And you start, at that point, you start seeing a little bit, just a little glimpse of the Master Chief's personality.
Yep.
And then we get, you know, we get through Halo 2, we go on to Halo 3, which craptastic ending to every game ever made, Halo 2. Sorry. I thought I broke the game. You go into Halo 3, and now you're, I mean, it's almost like an emotional roller coaster, Chief style.
Yeah, it's just kind of, it's just more the hits than like actual processing. It's just like, okay, yeah. You go here, and you find Cortana. And you go here, and you find Cortana. Yeah. And then when there's a moment. Yeah,
we need to do this. We need to do this. But throughout that game, and in Halo 3, there's one of my most favorite scenes. And that is the point where Master Chief finds Cortana. Mm-hmm. That scene has always ripped at my heart because that is the first time that I can recall where Chief, I'm trying to think of the correct way to say this, he displays his emotions so readily in that scene. I mean, you know, previous to that, you get the scene on, the Arbiter ship, not the Arbiter ship, but the Covenant ship, where they're talking about retrieving Cortana, and you see emotion there, but when he goes to recover Cortana in High Charity, it really wrenches at you. You know, the relief in Cortana's face when she sees John.
Yep. That little glimpse that was such a foretelling mm-hmm. into what kind of a roller coaster we would get with Halo 4. And like up until this point, like Chief was it was a very kind of monotone pretty much style for Chief. It was just kind of, what's my job?
He was a robot. Yeah,
what was my job? What's my next task? Yeah. And like you're saying, there's a little bit of emotion, like maybe a pinch of emotion in Halo 2. Halo 3 started to kind of show a little more where it's like, okay, he actually cares for Cortana as a partner.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously not the affectionate type of connection, but at least like, no, you're my partner. You've been through me thick and thin. Like, I need you to to do my missions and whatnot. But it's just so interesting, like taking the canned or the empty can of Master Chief from the first games, and then 343 just taking that story. And like we've seen the character of Chief through some of the other Halo books, so all of the original trilogy, we get to see Chief's character coming up from the age of 6 all the way through to when he was in Blue Team and basically up through Halo 2 with the books. And now there's just been this breadth of time, and it's Chief can't just be the soldier anymore. He has to play mm-hmm. a bigger role because there's now someone else who can't really take care of themselves, and he has to fill in that gap that can't be filled anymore. Like Halo 4 was an emotional roller coaster for fans and expressly for Chief. That was really the first time where Chief got a voice. Like this is the definition of who Chief is as a character. It's not just the player anymore. And I think with being able to identify with Chief going through the original Halo games, we really got to place ourselves in those boots. But that story was natural progression into what happened in Halo 4, so we were ready to empathize with what Chief was going through with Cortana. We were ready to experience those emotions and feel those emotions and really get a sense of the gravity of what was happening with Cortana and the relationship that they had.
Yeah. Halo CE lets you step into Master Chief's boots. And then he evolved throughout the next three games. And when you get into Halo 4 and you're coping with the rampancy of Cortana, it's happening to you. You're still the Master Chief. And that's the way it makes me feel. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't just a character on a screen. You know, that it made me feel like it was happening to me, that, you know, I'm the guy in the suit that I'm having this discussion with Cortana, you know, and finding out that she's basically dying.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, people thought that there was a lot lost when Chief became, you know, started having a personality. And I say, no, it added so much more to the game. It made me care even more about Chief as a character.
Yeah.
Because I could identify with what he was going through.
And we were brought into that. So we experienced everything Chief experienced. It was, we could say Chief was definitely an open vessel when we were introduced to him in CE. But with the novels kind of filling that in and bringing us along for that ride, adding little bits to the vessel, that kind of fills in some of the gaps that aren't necessarily intruding on our perception of Chief and the perception of the character. We really get to come along for the ride and walk alongside Chief, so to speak.
You really get invested in him as a character.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the greatest things I think Halo has accomplished. The narrative storytelling of the original Halos really didn't, or the first three Halos, the original trilogy from the Bungie era, didn't do too much to influence who Chief was to the player. There are definitely certain tidbits in there where it's like, okay, this is a little bit of what Chief's character is. We're going to kind of push you in this direction a little bit. But all the character development happened around Chief and around the story and around you as a player, where you got to process those emotions on your own without being told how to process what you were playing. And I think that was the key for everybody that has fallen in love with Halo because of the story. I think that way of telling the story has been what has made Halo an icon in the gaming industry. And Master Chief as a character is probably one of the most, if not up there along like with Mario, of the most recognizable characters in video games.
But don't forget Pikachu.
I mean, well, yeah, Pikachu as well.
This is Podtacular. We got to get, you know, never mind. Anyway.
Pikachu.
We go through Halo 4 and we get to the Halo 4 and we lose our best friend.
Yeah.
Our best friend we've basically lived, ate, and breathed with for the last 3 years, died, saving us. Mm-hmm. So that was absolutely crushing. And in the, you know, the finals cutscenes for Halo 4, you see that in Chief and you feel it.
Every time. I cried the first time I saw that.
Oh, I did too.
I probably cried for a good minute.
Yeah, it was crushing when, you know, when we start that last mission and you get to where you're starting to fight the Didact, you're like, you know, the first time you're going through, it's not really clear what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then you get to that final battle with the Didact and all of a sudden Cortana's gone.
Yep.
And for Cortana to be able to, you know, in that final scene where she puts her hand on his chest and says she's waited so long to do that, to feel. And the way Chief reacted to that, it's like, no, you're coming with me.
He couldn't process it. None of us could process it. None of us were ready for it.
Yeah. My brain was on overload. Anyway, mm-hmm. I'd already hit tilt by then.
And at the beginning of Halo 5, it's confirmation that he can't cope with it.
Exactly. You know, you get into that first team with blue, or first mission with blue team, and you can see the torment that he's going through trying to cope with this loss of Cortana.
Yep. Pushing it out because he doesn't know how to deal with it. Mm-hmm. That's that soldier. That's that empty can that we were given in CE. And all that personality was drilled out of him when he became a Spartan. And it was all, it's mission, 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 mission. And Mendez even told him, like, you have to learn how to lose soldiers. He couldn't cope with how to lose Cortana.
Well, with Cortana, she became more than just a weapon or a tool.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, keep in mind, Spartans treat their weapons with the utmost respect and reverence. That, you know, it is their lifeline. So I'm not trying to discount that, but Cortana became more to Chief than anything else. Mm-hmm. More of a friend, more of a companion and compadre, however you want to say it. And that loss just, it devastated him, but being the soldier, he has to go on. He has to continue the fight.
Yep.
Because that's all he knows.
Yeah.
And it was really heart-wrenching to watch him go through Halo 5 and lose Cortana all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And to be betrayed by Cortana on top of everything else.
Although I get the sense with Halo 5 that gave him some resolution. Or some resolve on
probably behind
kind of losing Cortana. At least that's kind of the sense I get by the time you roll around to that end scene in Halo 5 where he's back with Dr. Halsey. It's like he's not over it, but he's at least dealt with it on some level. And granted, like, Halo fans were not very excited about the story because we got very little of Chief. So that whole thing of like, hey, we get to play as Chief, and that didn't really happen too much in Halo 5.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. But we did.
But there was Chief's story in there, and what was there was good. You know, it felt, it fit. Mm-hmm. It fit the path that Chief had been on.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really started in Halo 3. You know, that's when it really started to pick up. Halo 4, 343 did a marvelous job with Chief's character and bringing emotion into his character. Halo 5, you're dealing with, you know, a crushed Chief. You know, he has trouble deciding on what to do because here's Cortana, but he's been drilled all his life to follow orders and to do his job. So to have him basically, you know, go AWOL from the UNSC is a major step in the opposite direction for Chief.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big step. I'm really looking forward to seeing how Chief evolves in Infinite.
This is going to be the most defined Chief that we get, I think, out of a Halo game. Is this one right here. Like, Halo 4 was chiseling away the stone cold soldier that Chief was and giving Chief a personality outside of just what the character, just what the players expressed it as. And again, we got to come along with that. So it's a natural progression in. Mm-hmm. So it fits. Like if you were to do that for, like, if Halo 4 was an initial game, it wouldn't have worked as well because we haven't had the decade of experience with Chief to really match our perception of who Chief is and our experience with Chief along with the story that's been told. And with Infinite, Cortana is deleted somewhere else. Who knows at this point? But we have this new opportunity with the weapon, a new start, a new way for Chief to really start exploring who he is, along with the pilot and the Spanish threat.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to get so much more character dialogue and so much more interaction with Chief. And I fully expect it to still kind of move along with how we've experienced Chief before. But it's just going to be so much more rich this time around, I feel.
Yeah, in the extended fiction, in the books, you see with Chief's dialogue that he's learning to be
a person.
Yeah, more of a person.
Than just a
soldier.
But
he's also learning to be a role model for other, you know, other enlisted people.
He's always had respect for them as far as a fellow soldier and a fellow comrade, but he's never had that personal connection with others outside of like Blue Team and Johnson and other close people that he's been with.
Well, he's starting to realize that these other soldiers look up to him and look to him for his knowledge.
Goes right back to that Halo 2 cutscene. Folks need heroes, Chief. Give them hope.
But yeah, it's things like that. You know, he makes a remark, well, maybe after he gets done being a Spartan, he'll go into the diplomatic corps. I'm like, you know, that's that's not Halo CE Chief.
No.
But
diplomacy for him is I point your rifle at you and you either do what I tell you, you do what I tell you, or you're gonna get mowed down.
His diplomacy is shoot first, then
ask questions ask later.
Questions. No, well, actually shoot first and just go on down the line.
But by anyway. The time you can't ask them any questions.
There's Chief's whole storyline between the games and the extended fiction has grown, and Chief has just grown as a character throughout all of the media that's been produced, and it's absolutely amazing where they've brought this empty shell of a character. And you know, when I play a game or I read a book, it's me in that armor. Because I'm that invested in this story.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait to see where it goes next.
And you can actually live in the universe because how we've been introduced to it through the games.
Definitely.
The storytelling is so good in the games, in the books. A few road bumps along the way in both arenas. But for the most part, I still think Halo has one of the most unique universes. And stories of any sci-fi franchise.
It's definitely a very expansive one.
It is.
You know, it's the only sci-fi universe that I'm invested in, period. And, you know, I'm a Trekkie. I love Star Trek. I love Star Wars. But I never got this invested in either one of those. Halo sucked me in, and I'll be here until I die.
Probably the same for me if they keep going for that long. Who knows? And we'll get to see what comes with Infinite. We've got two more books releasing this year. I've got three books to catch up on over the next couple of months. We've got the Halo TV show coming out, and that's going to be another Chief story that we get to see more of character development, hopefully. So it just keeps getting better from here. And for anyone that's new to the franchise as well, like take the time to go back and invest in those stories. Master Chief Collection is $20 right now on Steam. $20 for six, seven games.
Mm-hmm.
You include Halo 2 Anniversary with Halo 2, six games. $20 for six games.
If you really want to get invested in the story, it's a good place to start. Don't leave out the external fiction because it really adds to the games. By no means is it completely required, but it adds so much to the games. And I recommend to anybody play through Halo CE, play through it, enjoy the game, and then go read The Flood. And you will look at Halo CE in a totally different way. There are things in the game, it just makes so much more sense, and it adds so much more to that story. But they both stand alone very well.
They complement each other very well. And the external fiction just gives more depth to the universe. And it's really cool. There's so many different things that you can explore in the universe. And I hope they continue to explore, because there's still a lot of aspects of the Halo mythos that we have not explored in narrative, within the game, within books, within animation, comics, all of it. Needless to say, we're going to be here for a very long time, because we love Halo for the story, for the gameplay, for the community most of the time. And it's just really, really cool to see that we're kind of getting back to roots with Infinite. And the parallel between Chief with CE and Chief in Infinite is going to be a very different setting, I feel. But I think I'm looking forward to it to being a fresh perspective that gives Chief a more rounded out personality and character that we can identify with and latch on with and really just adopt as a continuation of our exploration of this universe that 343 has picked up the mantle on and continues to push forward. So we are both excited about what Chief's story is going to be continuing into Halo Infinite, what potentially it will be after Infinite, and whether through this live service style game be future DLC. We've got two more books coming out before the game comes out. One of them continuing on the whole kind of Blue Team saga, even though it's not technically a saga, but continuing that story. It's going to be really cool to see what 343 continues to do with the franchise. They've done some incredible stuff, and we are looking forward to seeing what they have next. This has been a little bit of a different show, so thanks for bearing with the little bit of a different format. We'll be back again very soon with a normal return to live recording schedule podcast. Thanks everyone for listening. We'll catch you on next time. Keep on fragging them trucks.